Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Emery. He's running for the People's Party of Canada in the riding of London North Centre. Some people might know him as the Prince of Plot. I don't know if you're using that in your election literature. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Scott Emery. Mark, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We also have a comment to start off with from Neil. He says, thanks, Mark, for all the sacrifices you have personally made to get to where we are now. A lot of people who are thankful for the fighting and sacrificing you've been doing over the years are undecided voters. Why should they consider voting for the People's Party of Canada?
Well, the ultimate decision has to be, if you like the tyranny, I call it a tyranny, the tyranny we've experienced in the last 18 months, then you should vote for one of the other parties. You shouldn't vote for me, because the People's Party is opposed to the direction of everything going on today. We oppose gender identity ideology. We oppose critical race theory. We're opposed to corporate welfare grants, subsidies of the arts, of business, of all that stuff. We want to see anything that interferes with freedom of speech repealed. And of course, the Trudeau government has, you know, spent 18 months fining people for rallies, restricting how they can move about the country, even though the charter says we have guaranteed mobility rights in the country and without the country. We don't have either. There was a period of time where no Canadian could leave the country. And a lot of times we can't travel. I can't travel to BC. My mobility rights have been stolen by the Trudeau government and the Ford governments. We're seeing a slide into dictatorship at a pace I could never have imagined, where every single aspect of our life, the ordinary human autonomy, has been circumscribed by this government. We live in dangerous and unsettling times, and the People's Party is an antidote to that.
During this election campaign, Facebook banned you. What happened?
Well, that's the weirdest thing. Of course, CBC is the fact checker for Facebook now. And 30 days ago, or 30 days before the election, so what's that, August 20, they found some stuff from the past, something from last September that they have harped on it before. They said I was committing hate speech when I commented that my favorite Caribbean restaurant, run by people of color, was forced to close due to the terrible lockdowns and the terrible business conditions created by this government. And so I was mad, and I said, you know, it's this evil COVID dictatorship, which is propped up by, quote, Canadians who are soft, weak, and unprincipled, okay? And so evil COVID government combined with Canadians who are soft, weak, and was considered hate speech, and I'm banned until just a few hours after the election on September 20th. And of course, you know, Facebook is a good place to put my campaign stuff, and I could have had a campaign page and everything, but none of that is available to me now. I can't comment on anything. I can't post anything. And in fact, CBC has interestingly enough, they have a Facebook debate coming up. Originally, I wasn't allowed on that because I'm banned on Facebook, and you have to use the Facebook app to conduct this interview, this debate, right? So now Facebook, an American corporation, via the taxpayers' broadcast for the CBC, is now exercising censorship on candidates, and the CBC goes along with it. It's an appalling situation. I'm sure if the People's Party and the government, we would first of all get rid of the CRTC and invite as much competition in as possible in both French and English, and we would get rid of CBC, defunding it. We would force it to become a private entity, which would eliminate it because it could never raise the money necessary. And in any case, the taxpayer is subsidizing a unique brand of Marxism in both universities, our national media, and in many of our institutions, like public health officials, like Dr. Tam. These are all people who have been brainwashed, propagandized, or adopted willingly Marxist philosophies in university. Now, this has been going on for 20 to 40 years, but now we're seeing it at a critical junction where the Marxist thought is permeating every aspect of our society, along with completely absurd and irrational thought, like transgender ideology, where somebody says, I'm a man or I'm a woman, and they automatically somehow change sexes and are entitled to the privacy and privileges of the opposite sex, particularly men who say they're women and want to access washrooms, spas, prisons, women's sports, women's politics, women's awards, and this sort of thing. This is an abomination, and it's typical, though, of the moral relativity we find in the world today, where that nothing is real, nothing is absolute, it's all whatever you want it to be, or rather, it's what anyone else wants it to be. Because what I want to be is free. I want to be able to make independent choices. I want to be able to live my own life autonomously. That you're not allowed to do. I can't be responsible for my own actions, but I have to be responsible for everyone else's actions. And so, you know, the People's Party is a party whose time has come. I think we were polling in an ECOS poll yesterday at 10%. That would be terrific in our second election. I mean, the NDP is only at 16%. We're at 10%. You know, I'm hoping soon we intersect and then exceed the NDP total. And they've been around 90 years. The Green Party, which will get wiped out this election, has been around nearly 40 years. So, you know, the People's Party is doing tremendous. Our people are enthused. They're motivated. As a candidate, I'm loving this campaign. I get a lot of honks every day. I spend 5 to 6 hours out on the street at intersections with 4,000 to 5,000 cars go by every hour. People talk to me. They get out of their cars. They ask for signs. I'm having a great campaign. I'm getting very dark and staying healthy. I've never social distanced. I share joints. I shake hands all day, every day, 15, 20 people. I've shared joints the last 18 months. I never wear a mask. I haven't changed anything about my life whatsoever. And, you know, that's the way I'm going to keep doing it because I'm shocked. I'm in a university city, and half those young students at age 20 are walking around with masks on outside. And it's the most absurd, ridiculous thing.
You've been excluded from all the candidates' debates in your riding, just like Max Bernier in the leadership debate. What happened?
I'm not vaxxed, so you don't get in. That's it. They make, I don't know why. You think they would say, are you sick? Are you ill? Do you have any? No, I don't have any of that, right? But no, the double vax people, they can get COVID. They can give it to other people. They can get sick, and they can even die. They can spread it. You know, I've already had COVID in November. I hardly noticed it. And so I'm more immune than they are and far more healthy than they are. But they still won't let me into any facility without being double vaxxed. So screw them. Most of the debates are always worthless. Even the one Max is excluded from is not particularly important. Only real partisans watch it. No one changes their mind. And at the local level, that's especially true. Only the hardcore show up to all candidates' meetings, and mostly it's set up and gotcha questions and way too brief for any kind of nuanced answer to anything. So this was a Rogers TV cable debate at Aeolian Hall, so I just would rather spend time outside with a sign saying, you know, People's Party believes in no vaccine passports and no more lockdowns, and I just spoke to people as they came walk by, and that was a particularly amusing photograph of the two guards at the door to keep me out in case I tried to sneak in. They have their masks on, they're big, tall guys and stuff. And it's reached the point of absurdum. It's just nuts. And London, Ontario is without question the worst I've ever seen for paranoia and hysteria and just general fear. And they've been thoroughly brainwashed. I'll give them that. This London population has been thoroughly brainwashed.
Have the other candidates in your riding provided proof of vaccination?
I don't know. I don't care about them. It doesn't even matter what their name is. They're all the same to me. I campaign and promote myself. I promote the party. I promote our ideals. I could care less what the other candidates do or say or how they're conducting their campaign. Needless to say, they are not on the street 5 to 6 hours a day like I am because I get a lot of abuse. When you're at 10% of the polls, that means 90% of the people currently don't like you. And so I get a lot of fuck yous and the finger and you're an asshole and blah, blah, blah. But I get many more honks and thumbs up and waves and people are running up to give me money and asking if they can have signs. So it's very rewarding to me. And as you know, I'm a polarizing person. I have been all my life since I was 20. And so I'm used to abuse. I get it constantly. I'm always amazed at the outrageous stories I see attributed to my behavior that are completely false. Easily disproven, but nobody cares about proof in this day and age. You see, in the old days, when I was in town here, I remember how nice it was. when if you were a hater, you know, all you could do would be call me up or send me a letter or get on an open line show, or at the very best, you might get a letter in the editor criticizing my action. Now every single miscreant in the world has social media access, and they can vent and rave and say horrible things to their heart's content because there's no accountability to anyone anymore. You can say anything you want about anybody, and you don't have to prove it. And so that's why we have so much false information going around, so much libel, so much slander. And then Twitter and Facebook and Instagram in their ridiculous ways censor people based on the most peculiar of circumstances. Oftentimes doesn't make any sense at all. But suffice to say, I have 400,000 followers on four platforms, right? On Facebook personal, it's 20,000. On my public figure, it's 300,000. On Twitter, it's 48,000. On Instagram, it's 48,000. It adds up to about 410,000. Well, you know what? I was taught very early that 5 to 10% of people will hate you no matter how nice you are to them, no matter what you do or say. They're still going to hate you. They're not going to like you. Well, out of 400,000 people who are following me, perhaps 40,000 of them don't like me or follow me just to razz me or give me a hard time. That's a lot of people with their miscreantry, you know, able to vent and say stupid, awful things, right? So it's a different era. It's a less mannered era. It's a less polite era. It's also a less intelligent era. The kids are stupid as all hell coming out of school today. They know nothing. You know, one of my girls, getting a report card that marks her for yoga and meditation. Really? That kids need yoga and meditation, do they? And we live in the bush, right? They can meditate, you know, amongst the bears and deers in our backyard anytime they want. So, and when I asked them, name five countries in Asia or Africa or South America, couldn't do it. Don't know anything. Schools don't teach them. They don't insist that anybody know anything to move to the next grade. So, you know, we got a generation of morons coming along, woke morons, because they certainly know if they're non-binary or not at 14, and they have blue hair, and, you know, that's the current fad, is the peer pressure to be something special like non-binary or trans or some idiotic modern-day Marxist variant is very strong in these schools, right? I'm surprised Muslims, Christians, and Jews send their kids to a public school. It's a disaster. It's the stupidest thing you could do.
What attracted you to run for the People's Party of Canada?
Everything. I love Maxime Bernier. I've known him for 5 years. He's an incredibly decent gentleman. He's intelligent. He stands for all the right ideals. There's nothing the party stands for that I don't agree with. They're great on gender ideology. They're great on critical race theory. They're great on no more corporate welfare, no more funding CBC, no more $600 million over 5 years to all these journalists that work for giant corporations with tons of money. We are subsidizing a vast network of very wealthy companies in oil, gas, media, mine, everything. Like they get just tons of, all that's got to end. There's no more taxpayer bailouts or largesse or freebies and all that crap. And same with the size of government. We've just got to pare it down. And, you know, we should never have locked down. We should never have stopped anything. We should have all gotten COVID if we were under 65 when it was the alpha variant last year. And we'd have all got through this very quickly. Hide the vulnerable, put them away for a time until it's gone through the entire population under 65. And then we're good to go. Get the vaccine for the elderly. Nobody under 65 who's thin and healthy ever needed a vaccine. These vaccines, if anything, have created the variants. This vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't stop you from spreading COVID. It doesn't stop you from getting sick with COVID. It doesn't stop you from even dying of COVID. And I am a person that's not against vaccines. I've had lots of vaccines. I travel all over the world, to Amazon, to South Africa, to jungles. So I got yellow fever. When you get a yellow fever vaccination, you don't ever get yellow fever. You don't spread yellow fever. You're not going to suffer from yellow fever, and you're certainly not going to die from it because you're not going to get it. It's a sterile vaccine. Just like when I got a polio vaccine when I was a kid. Nobody got polio after that. I didn't get polio. I didn't spread polio. I didn't suffer from polio, and I certainly didn't die from it, which happened before those vaccines, because those were good sterilizing vaccines. This is a bullshit vaccine that you're going to need to take dose after dose after dose. And I believe it's causing a lot of illness, it's causing a lot of pain, it's causing a lot of miscarriages, it's causing females to have their menstrual cycle upset, and for no appreciable benefit. We have created the conditions by which this new variant, Delta variant, has mutated into it by being such stupid people, following all these governments and doing it all wrong. At first they told us to stay indoors. Wrong! get outside in the sun. They told us to stay indoors and watch Netflix. Essentially wrong, getting fat, obese, eating junk food, terrible idea. Because the obese, the corpulently obese and the obese, are the people who are most likely to die if they get COVID. What they should have done is told everybody to hit the salad bar at their local restaurant, patronize that local restaurant, hit the salad bar, eat healthy, get the hell outside, don't stay in your place, and certainly don't bother wearing masks outside. And for that matter, just, you know, use good common sense and avoid people who might be vulnerable, because they should avoid you, so hopefully they're being responsible too. But no, we did it all wrong, all stupidly, and now we're cascading toward a dictatorship where every single movement, everything we do, every place we go, everything we spend our money on will be in some vaccine passport telling the state where we are, what we're doing, what our medical conditions are, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a nightmare. It's going to be terrible.
Has marijuana been properly made legal in Canada?
Oh, that was an abortion. I mean, if anything, they sure that, you know, one good thing that has come of it, okay? In 2010, we had 80,000 arrests for cannabis. And last year, we had under 2,000. So that is a dramatic reduction in the number of people arrested for cannabis. That's good. But that's the only thing that was good. Because what they did is they hired thousands of government bureaucrats, inflating the size of government, inflating the bureaucracy incredible. They put four taxes on cannabis. The provincial governments monopolized the distribution at the provincial level. At the federal level, they're so heavily regulated that the price is still much higher than the free market, where the price has plummeted because there's now too big a supply in Canada. There's just too much cannabis. The price has fallen through the floor. So the consumer is not getting the benefit of those low prices. Businesses are not really going to be that prosperous. There's going to be so many of them in 6 months, and the margins are very tight now, and they're getting tighter. There won't be money to be made, and what we accept, the government's going to collect a lot of tax revenue, and all the government monopolies at the provincial level are going to make money because they handle everything and distribute it to the retailers. And the retailers really are just an arm of the government monopoly. There's so many regulations on them that they really don't even act independently. Like when I had Cannabis Culture on Church Street in Toronto, I served 2,000 people a day because the price was right, the weed was incredible, the service was awesome, and people loved coming there. Nobody ever says I love going to a legal cannabis shop because they're all sterile as hell. And they're no fun to work at, they're no fun to shop at, they're boring. You know, they're all cookie cutter too, because they're all regulated. They all kind of look the same. So, you know, they kind of ruined a good thing, except in that one point. Fewer, a lot less criminalization, a lot more making it as boring as hell, and, you know, bureaucratic as hell, and taxed as hell, and, you know, it sucks. And, of course, crony capitalism. The first person to get a license to open a retail was, you know, the former Liberal Party campaign chair, right? Bruce Linton, I think his name was. He was a Liberal Party hack, and his company, Canopy Growth, is the biggest corporation in North America dealing in cannabis, because he had all the inside track on everything, and that's how all of them are. It was all pump and dump schemes. It was all, you know, they've lost billions and billions of Canadian people's money, not their own. The government convinced everybody legal was the way to go, so Canadians by the hundreds of thousands invested in these cannabis companies, and most of them lost their shirt.
What would need to be done to do a proper job of making marijuana legal?
Oh, just repeal the Cannabis Act. They can keep all the taxes on. You know, government will tax whatever they can, to the degree that they can, but everything regulatory should have been done. We should sack thousands of bureaucrats that were hired to process all that stuff. We should, the provinces have too much authority, and the federal government has too much authority. So the federal government's got to diminish the amount of authority. And you know what? What happened to cannabis happens to every industry. Favoritism, crony capitalism, that infiltrates every aspect of legislation the government passes. Everything is designed to favor the chosen few, the favored few, the rich, the powerful. Governments only know how to appeal to those people, like whether it's bureaucrats, cops. They go to their usual authorities. You know, they are always legally obligated to hold hearings on any legislation, but they're never obligated to actually listen or pay attention to any stakeholders or taxpayers. And when I testified before the Health Committee about this impending Cannabis Act legislation, I saw people testify for weeks. The government didn't listen to anybody. And I've testified before Toronto City Hall, the provincial government, They never listen to anybody. They already know what they want to do. It's already bought and paid for, but they have to go through the basically kangaroo court of listening to the taxpayer say stuff that they have absolutely no intention of following through on in any way. So that's government for you. That's why we need Max Bernier, and that's why we need the People's Party. Because what we've got is utter bullshit. It doesn't work. It's a fake democracy. It's all just posing. It doesn't really respond to people. It's just you vote for them once every 4 years, and you've basically given them absolute power. And you've given the government of the day absolute power. I mean, the Prime Minister had a minority government. He's ruled like a dictator, like he's Vladimir Putin. Right? I mean, because the opposition of the Conservatives never objected once to the slide into tyranny in the last 8 months, nor did the NDP or Greens. They're totally down with the program. They would love that power themselves. So they don't criticize the Liberals abusing their power because it's a power they want to abuse. That's what people have been sucked into. But when you look at my brainwashed audience in London, Ontario, and the rest of Canada, they've embraced dictatorship. They've embraced fascism. They've embraced totalitarianism. They will do whatever these people tell them unquestioningly for the most part. So, you know, we do get the government we deserve because 70 to 80% of Canadians are totally down with this dictatorship. They will be told what to do for years and they'll put up with it. You think they would revolt? They're not going to revolt.
Does the government regulated marijuana have a different makeup than homegrown pot? And does the government marijuana remove some of the medicinal properties of it?
I would say, by the way, it's not government marijuana. It is actually produced by private companies who do a pretty good job. They do a pretty good job under terrible circumstances of being overregulated, overtaxed, and overburdened with a lot of bureaucracy. To their credit, they are producing excellent marijuana by and large. It's just too expensive. The really good stuff is way more expensive in the legal market than it is in the free market. And that's only because of the government's bureaucracy.
We'll have more with Mark Emery right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Emery. Mark, what is crony capitalism, and is it the root of all evil?
Well, it shouldn't even be called capitalism. I'm a believer in capitalism. Capitalism is a very pure subject where people produce freely, they sell freely, and this is items and matters of the mind. No censorship is a free market. That's what capitalism of the mind is. We have free exchange of ideas, free exchange of thoughts without government interference. Same with goods and services. Capitalism allows people to choose what they want, to buy only those things, to pay only for those things that they want, and the value that they get is compensatory to a stable currency. That's how capitalism should work. We've never really seen it, but that's, you know, how it should work. What we get is insiders and rich people getting preferential treatment, advantages, tax breaks, like capital gains. Like, I get why we have capital gains tax lower than income tax, but that means the poorest sod who actually works for a living, getting a wage, is getting screwed. You know, whereas property owners or people whose property is appreciating are getting a lower tax rate, and people who invest in the stock market are getting a lower tax rate and what have you. Well, you know, I object to all that. We should have a flat tax for everybody, no matter what your income. You should say maybe 10% of all your income goes to the government. And there are no deductions. There's no exemptions. It doesn't matter how many kids you have or whatever. You just pay 10% of your income. That will encourage you to earn, and it will encourage you to pay your taxes because that's reasonable. But when you have the progressive tax system and even an ordinary income person, you know, at $800 a week is paying 25% of their income in taxes, even at $800 a week, $20 an hour, say, that's bullshit. Right? Everybody else is getting a better deal if they're connected to the government. You know, whether it's a Crown Corporation getting bailed out, whether it's journalists getting all this taxpayer money to write their propaganda for the Liberal government. No, no, all this has to go. All that's over. Right? That's what crony capitalism was, where insiders and cheaters and manipulators and people connected to the government are getting an advantage over ordinary people.
Your thoughts on the notwithstanding clause in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms?
We've got to get rid of that. As soon as Max and I get into office, we're going to do our best to get the charter altered to have that removed. That's the only thing that needs to be changed. Government should not be able to opt out of the charter.
Are Bill C-10 and Bill C-36 the internet censorship rules designed to usher in totalitarian rule?
Well, we've already got that. That's just one of the many tangent pieces of legislation that are going towards that. Listen, when I can't visit my brother in long-term care, when I can't visit my own family in British Columbia, when I can't leave my community, when cops are giving me fines to go to rallies, when I'm barred from going to the parks that I've paid taxes for, when I can't go into a business, when I can't open my business, when I can't run my business, when my business is being run into the ground, when I'm being made dependent on subsidies by the government, when I'm being forced to go on my own, on welfare because there's no way to keep my own store open because the government's ordered it closed. We are in a totalitarian state. They've already got the media completely manipulated. These are just extra things to make sure there is never any opposition ever again that's effective. But all the media is bought and paid for. CTV, Global, and CBC are all cheerleaders. Most newspapers. I got a newspaper in the mail today, and the only news in the first six pages was about COVID propaganda, COVID hysteria, COVID this, COVID that, rules here, passports there. They're totally bought off. It's not a free press anymore. It's a totally compliant version of Canada Pravda. They do whatever the government gives them a press release to tell.
Is the mainstream media the enemy of the people?
Oh, absolutely it is. It's no question. Every journalist is an enemy of the people. You didn't used to be this way. 40 years ago, it would be opposite. Journalists were supposed to ask the questions that the public wanted to know, or that citizens had a right to know, or to uncover the truth. It's all woke propaganda now. There are no conservative journalists. There are no libertarian journalists. They're all woke Marxists promoting gender ideology, critical race theory, absurd stuff, like nutty stuff, right? That's what they're into because that's what they've been brainwashed after 4 years of university. It starts now in public school. You know, you get that brainwashing on gender ideology when you're like 6, 7, 8 years old. Kids are already asking if they're gay or trans or something at age 10, 12, 14. This is insane. Kids shouldn't have any interest or knowledge. None of them have had sex, so why do they need to be taught any of this stuff? It's taught to them under the guise of making sure they're tolerant, but it's not. It's perverting them. It's corrupting them. It's messing up with their heads, and there's too many woke parents letting the school system get away with this and propagating this idiotic unreality of, you know, this Marxist unreality in their home.
Your thoughts on COVID and the vaccine passports?
Well, it's all wrong. It's all totalitarianism. We don't need a vaccine passport. If people want to get the vaccine, they get it, and they should be, you know. And one would assume that when you got the vaccine, you wouldn't give a damn what anybody else does. When I got my yellow fever vaccination, I didn't ask anybody else if they got yellow fever. I didn't give a damn. If they don't get it, that's up to them. You know, if they get yellow fever, it's not my fault. I got yellow fever vaccination, so I don't need to worry about it. And same with polio. I didn't go around asking other people, do you have polio or do you have a polio vaccine? Because, you know, if I've got the vaccine, why do I need to worry? So that's what gets me, is everybody's got two doses. They're going to get a third and a fourth, and they're still frightened as all hell. Whereas if I get it and die, I don't care. I'm not upset. I've lived a great long life. It doesn't bother me to die. I can't understand why anybody my age or older is frightened to die. It just doesn't make any sense. I lived through the greatest period of economic expansion in humankind's history. We've had it great. Every single person alive today has had better opportunity than anybody who existed 100 years ago, who existed 200 years ago, where everybody was a serf 300 years ago, living outside in filth and disease. And we live in sweet times, and we're willing to throw it all away for some illusion of safety and security over a virus that doesn't really kill that many people. 805 people die in Canada from all causes every day. And in August, the average amount of people dying of COVID was 1 to 4 a day in a country of 37 million.
Do you think the push for Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, where you'll own nothing and be happy about it, will succeed?
Yeah, probably, because people are garbage. They're cowards. They're not willing to stand up for anything. And I've stood up for stuff all my life. You know, I've been going to jail all my adult life. I've been standing up to the attempt at tyranny all my adult life. And I just look around and I don't see many Canadians who've lived a life like I have, where they put principle of liberty above their own personal convenience, above their comfort, above their money, above everything. It's always been the most important to me. It supersedes everything. I don't meet many people like that, and that's why this country is going to go down in all likelihood.
What has happened to the education system in Canada?
It was always bad, but at least you learned stuff. But you learned a lot of government propaganda. Even when I was in school in the 70s, I objected to the history books being so pro-government and pro-state. You know, it was like the government gave us everything. The government gave us prosperity because in 1880 today we went to this, right? The government always takes credit for all that stuff, even in the history texts you learn. But at least we had genuine science. We had genuine geography. We learned math skills. Now they don't even care about math. No one is proficient in math anymore. Math is irrelevant, they say, because you've got calculators. Why do you need to know how to figure things out? And same with the other thing. Why do you need to have critical thinking skills? See, Google will do it all for you. Besides that, we live in a new Canada where people will tell you what to do. You don't need to know how to build anything or fix anything or how to analyze anything because we do it all for you.
Where can people follow you and find out more about your campaign?
I'm on Twitter. You should get on Twitter and you can see my real thoughts there. I'm on Facebook, but I'm banned till September 20th. And I'm on Instagram, which is less intellectual, more visual. But still, that's good. And my email is markemery420@gmail.com. Mark, M-A-R-C-E-M-E-R-Y, 420@gmail.com. And you can get my phone number from a variety of sources, and I welcome all kinds of things as long as they're not too abusive. I get abused 5 hours, 6 hours on the street every day with fuck yous and middle fingers and stuff. So I don't necessarily need that coming on my telephone. You would be blocked, but I will put up with it on the street. You're not going to find the Liberal, NDP, or Conservative candidate out there with a sign saying, hey, ask me anything, right? Because a lot of people punch them or throw shit at them, which is what they like to do to me.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Thanks, Jim. I hope you can use some of that stuff. I've enjoyed myself.
My guest has been Mark Emery. He's running for the People's Party of Canada in the riding of London North Centre. If you have any questions for any of our guests, we'll gladly ask that question for you the next time we talk to them if you send it to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter at TalkDigitalNet, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at talkdigitalnetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.